we are a little bit after time, but as you know that we invited people outside the department, we can at least be lenient with them. Let me declare this meeting open and welcome all our members, the representatives of the Security Institute for Security Studies, whom we have invited to do a presentation, our officials from Parliament and from the committee. You are welcome for this meeting. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the delegation. You remember, all members, we had invited not only the Institute for Security Studies, we also invited the two universities, that was University of the Western Cape as well as West University. Have we submitted? Okay. Will them, they only sent us their input. They thought they may not be able to come and do a presentation. They are not that much affected or have much issues on the bill itself. But we had thought as a committee that it is important that we open it up, because the new bill at all, we are starting a new bill as government. And it's a very important bill because it has to do with the security of our country. As we all know that there's a lot of people that are inside the country, some of them we cannot account for how they enter the country. It may mean that we don't even know how they leave the country. So as we deal with issues that has to do with the security of the country, which might be a threat to the country, it's important that we open to other professional organizations that are dealing with security. That is why we have invited you to this meeting. Up front, honourable members, I just want to indicate to you that it's up to the committee what you want to do. You may discuss the inputs today. You may defer the deliberations of the input to next week's meeting, where we'll be dealing with all the inputs that we got through the public participation process, where we will be finalising the bill next week. But if members want some clarities or make inputs, they are welcome to do so. We have requested this input just to strengthen the bill. Not necessarily to criticize or whatever, but to strengthen it so that we can say it was consulted. We have considered other bodies that are dealing with security in the country. We have one presentation. I'm hoping that, I'm not sure how long is the presentation, but I had planned that by 11:30, quarter to 12, we are done with our meeting. I know that members are having other things. Myself, I had to go back to bed. I'm attending classes this week. I just came for this meeting. So I'm hoping that we'll finish our meeting by 11:30, the latest quarter to 12. But it's up to the members what you want to do. It's your meeting. I think it is appropriate that we introduce ourselves because we are meeting for the first time. My name is Kathy Dlamini, the chairperson of this committee, Social Services. It's a committee responsible for 5 departments. Department of Home Affairs, I've started that one. Department of Health, Social Development, Water and Sanitation, and Human Settlement. Those are the 5 departments that were responsible. I am representing the beautiful province of this country, which is Mpumalanga. You will know that we are structured differently here in the NCOP. We're not like the NA. We are representing different provinces. You'll hear members, they will introduce themselves like that. I'm from Mpumalanga, representing Mpumalanga.
Good morning, everybody. Pindo is my name. The surname is Vamka. I'm representing the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much.
Good morning to the honorable members and the chairperson. So we started with the chairperson and the honorable members and the the Home Affairs staff member. I am Thandi Mphambo Bokwana. I'm a member of the committee chaired by Ms. Lamini, and I represent the most beautiful province. The chairperson said beautiful province of Mola. I said the most beautiful province of the Western Cape.
Good morning. I'm Chris Alden from the Northwest Province.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mdomo Shekhaula. I represent the kingdom. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dihan Stok. I represent the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jeannie Leroux. I'm a researcher for the committee.
Good morning. I'm Tabile Kate, the Permanent Advisor.
Good morning, I'm Suan Isaac, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor.
Good morning, I'm Alex from the Communication
Department. Good morning, I'm Yolandi van Alkegen from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor in Pretoria.
Good morning, I'm an Honourable Members Chair. My name is Moses Malagati from the Department of Home Affairs.
Morning, I'm Theatre Civil Major from Home Affairs Legal Services.
Honourable Chair members, good morning. My name is Dionne Erasmus, Chief Director, Legal Services, Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Aura Africa. I am the Project Manager for the Border Management Authority, based in the Department of Home Affairs.
And good morning, Honourable Members and Chairperson, and everybody else. My name is Amy Noel Mbioso, and I am a Senior Researcher with the Migration Program with the Institute for Security Studies.
Mbioso.
I am from the beautiful country of Canada, but I'm also Sipetihle Mbioso from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Devang. I'm from Parliamentary Monitoring Group, PMG.
Good morning, everybody. Marcel Williams, the committee secretary.
Thank you very much.
No, Chair, I'm concerned. I'm coming from the area especially Mbioso is mentioning. Is she married to the Mbioso family? Or what is happening?
It's not for the committee consumption. You can take that one outside the meeting. I think that was on a lighter note. Thank you very much, all the members. As you have heard the representation, I said outside the committee, now she's taking it. The representation in this house, we take very seriously. We have almost everyone who is supposed to be. It has been a long journey. I'm sure the project manager is very much frustrated, but it's only one meeting left for us to conclude the project. I think it was a necessary process to take as a committee so that when we're done, at least we will say we've done what we're supposed to do as a committee. I will hand over to you to do the presentation. I don't know how much time do you need?
Not long.
Not long.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just start by saying that I'm actually here as a fill-in for Otilia Manganise, who tried to be here the first time it was established, but is presenting to the African Union today in Addis Ababa. So I'm a little bit outside my depth. I'll do my best to answer questions, but I'm presenting on her behalf. So please go easy on me. The ISS, so the Institute for Security Studies, were honored to be among the organizations that have been invited to comment on the Border Management Authority Bill. The Institute for Security Studies, we're a non-profit organization, and we partner to build knowledge and skills with the vision of securing Africa's future. Our goal is to enhance human security as a means to achieve sustainable peace and prosperity. So our work covers different areas, including transnational crimes, migration, maritime security and development, peacekeeping, peace building, crime prevention, and criminal justice, and the analysis of conflict and governance. We aim to promote better policy and practice that ensures that Africa's human security challenges are properly dealt with.
I'm just checking if you are using the document we have, or you have this one. Is it the same document?
It's the same document, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna read it. So our submission will focus on five key aspects at this stage of the process, and one is the definition of the border area. Two is the securitization of the border zones. Three is the institutional positioning of the Border Management Authority and the need for effective oversight and accountability. Four is the role of other government departments in the reporting line, so most notably being SARS and the police. Number five is the regional harmonization of the border management and the possible utility of the SADC guidelines. We do want to say that this list is not exhaustive. We have reviewed many of the previous submissions that have gone into this bill by civil societies and members of the public as well as government departments. And this, we do agree with many of the comments that have already been made, but hoping that this submission just serves to buttress some of those submissions. So area one is the definition of the border law enforcement area. So section 1A and B, we would like to seek clarity on the actual extent of the border law enforcement area, specifically how the 10 kilometers was determined and established, and more importantly, if it is established that 10 kilometers is the demarcated zone, then we can remove any other reasonable distance from the definition. But there is a need for certainty on the extent of the zone that the Border Management Authority will operate in. Number two is the securitization of the border zones. So the ISS recognizes and appreciates the need for effective border management and law enforcement, but that it's civilian-led. So the proposed BMA, if I'm allowed to use acronyms, while under the direction of the Minister of Home Affairs, will effectively add an additional or auxiliary police service, which lends itself to the creation of an over-securitized zone within the Republic. There is need for clarity on the form and function of the authority, and what is meant and understood by the Border Management Authority as being part of the armed services, as stated in Section 4.1 of the bill. Section 4.2 restricts border law enforcement functions exclusively to the Border Management Authority. If so, then what regulatory mechanisms will be in place to prevent other law enforcement to perform functions within their mandate that could be interpreted as border law enforcement functions, such as the search, seizure, arrest, and detention functions of the SAPS? Alternatively, the committee could consider including here that the BMA must instead cooperate and could coordinate with other organs of the state on the border law enforcement functions. Our third point relates to the institutional positioning of the authority and the need for effective oversight and accountability. So under this, we have lines of reporting. So from the bill, it is very clear that the commissioner and deputy commissioners will effectively report to the Minister of Home Affairs. However, given that they will be commissioned officers, it is very important that clarity is provided on how their roles will relate to the service, to their service within the SAPS. So what if any, consultation will occur between the Minister of Home Affairs and the Minister of Police and the Police Commissioner? The level of the Border Management Authority Commissioner, will this be the same as the National Police Commissioner? And if not, at what level will the BMA Commissioner be ranked? On the qualification of the Commissioner, so to avoid a situation where a person who is not a commissioned officer is appointed by the president and subsequent to such an appointment fails to comply with the entry requirements to be appointed as a commissioner, rendering the appointment void, this section must improve its clarity that at the time of the appointment, the person must be already be a commissioned officer. Investigations and inquiries. So the wording contained in Section 8.3b of the SAPS Act of 1995 should be used in this bill to at least provide for a determination by the president or the minister on the length of said inquiry is instructive. So where it says that unless the minister in consultation with the president determines otherwise is recommended. So this should help ensure fast and cost-effective processes. Our fourth point relates to the role of other government departments and the reporting line. So most notably under this would be SARS and SAP. The ISS recognizes and appreciates the need for a holistic government approach to the border management that is rooted in cooperation between all government departments that have border-related functions within their portfolio. To this end, the ISS recommends that the Border Management Authority Bill clearly defines the roles of government departments, authorities, and services to codify coordination. The BMA bill does recognize this at a high level, but it doesn't expound on the responsibilities of the other departments, authorities, and services. Instead, it subsumes the aligned functions of various government departments under the BMA. For example, the roles of the Departments of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, the Health, the DTI, among others, in respect of their border law enforcement functions are not mentioned at all. We refer to Section 4.2 that states that only the BMA will have law enforcement functions in the law enforcement area. Specific additional issues that would fall under this point that I think have been raised throughout this process that we'll sort of re-emphasize is that while the BMA bill speaks to the role of the BMA in facilitating revenue collection, and this is a point that Treasury and SARS have repeatedly raised before the Parliamentary Committee as a concern, it remains unclear how in actual practice this does not affect the exclusive responsibility of SARS to collect tax effectively. The ISS supports the submissions of Treasury on this issue on the need for mandatory coordination that is legally provided for in the bill. On specific aspects related to the intersections between the role of the BMA and the role of SAP, the BMA outlines the process for detention and arrest of individuals. It's in Section 21.1. The document does have an error there. The clause states that if an officer detains or arrests a person, the officer must then, as soon as reasonably possible, bring that person to a police station under the control of the South African Police Service, or if a warrant expressly stipulates another place, bring the person to that place. The requirements here are very vague, and it's unclear if this process would apply to how and if this process would apply to vulnerable groups specifically. Clarity should be provided on what the position of the BMA officers will be in relation to law enforcement of, among others, and this is a very big point, the Immigration Act and the Refugee Act as amended. These roles, I think, are very important. Generally, on Section 18, on the powers of entry, search, seizure, arrest, and detention, it's important that it's made clear that this relates to the commission of offenses and not a broad interpretation of the scope of arrest that goes beyond the offenses under SA law. What, for a very important example, is what violations of the Immigration Act? In Section 18.1, it says, or without a warrant, and we believe that that should be removed as Section 18.2 provides for the instances in which an officer may perform function without a warrant. And we believe this distinction is very important. It may be useful to cross-reference this section of the Criminal Procedure Act 51 of 1977. In doing so, in accordance with the provisions of the CPA in respect of entry, search, seizure, arrest, and detention, that may be inserted at the start of this section. Alternatively, language recommended is to be dealt with in terms of Section 50 of the Criminal Procedure Act, 1977. Section 21.1 speaks to avoiding the possibility of abuse in respect of places of detention. Arrested people should only be detained at stations under the control of SAPS. In this case, or if a warrant expressly stipulates another place, bring the person to that place should be removed. And our fifth and final point for today's submission is on the regional harmonization of border management, and well, we'd like to refer the utility of existing static guidelines in this respect. So draft static guidelines on the coordinated border management have already been drafted and could be a useful guide on aspects covered in this bill. But so there's some items in there that are not elucidated on as it relates to the operational aspects of the BMA. Some issues for consideration from this document are the holistic approach to coordinated border management. This includes distinctions between intra-authority cooperation, so cooperation within the BMA across all border areas, inter-agency cooperation, so cooperation and coordination between offices of the different agencies at the border, and international cooperation, so with neighboring states and Interpol. These are not provided for in the BMA bill. Secondly, is inclusion of procedures for cooperation, as well as mechanisms of communication and information exchange. Third is infrastructure and equipment. In this respect, clarity on whether BMA will operate with existing infrastructure or whether additional facilities for the exclusive use of BMA are envisaged. And fourth is consider that other BMAs in the region already do exist, including Zimbabwe and Zambia, and they include the following as key elements within their authority, and that's Immigration, Customs, Bureau of Standards, Environment, Sanitary and Phytosanitary Agencies, Department of Health, Agriculture, Police and Interpol, Vehicle Inspection Department, Drug Enforcement Agency, and Border Control. And that, I think, wraps up our comments at this phase. Thank you.
So thank you very much for the input. I'm sure members they've noticed that the majority of issues, except the last one, number five, has been dealt with in our previous meetings. I think our legal team will be in a position to speak to some of the issues, because some of the issues she's raising are the issues that we raised as a committee, and we're hoping that by the time we finalize, they would have been included or corrected or removed or added on the bill. A number of them are the issues that we raised as a committee. I will now allow for inputs or questions. Let me start with the legal team before I open for members to comment, because they may ask issues that would have been answered by the legal team. Home Affairs, do you want to start?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the presentation. We have noted all the comments. I think what we will do next week as well, we'll come back with more detail on some of the issues. I just want to explain on some of the areas, and Chair, you indicated that now it was already dealt with in submissions that we made the previous time that we were here. The issues that we're looking at, and I don't know if that's been taken care of in the bill itself or that people have noted it, is the whole issue about the implementation protocols. The coordination that needs to take place, we've got the, if you look at section or clause 27, clause 24, 25, 26, which deals with your interministerial consultative committee, where the ministers will obviously engage with each other on matters of mutual interest, etc. That is in the bill, so that is kind of taken care of as well, but those are responses that we will also provide next week. Also, with regard to the detail on, you indicate operational issues are not being dealt with in the bill. Remember, this bill is what we call framework legislation. Operational issues are dealt with in regulations, etc. When you come to substantive issues, that will be dealt with in the bill. So this is what we're trying to do. You deal with the framework legislation, and then when you drill down to operational issues, it will go down to the regulations as well, where the empowering provision is there in the bill that allows the minister to make regulations to deal with a lot of the administrative issues that are being mentioned here. Chair, on the other issue about the functions that are going to be performed, and there are functions of other departments that are also involved, yes, that's where the Section 97 proclamation comes in of the Section 97 of the Constitution, where certain functions, the President will then look at that, what functions must be transferred, which ones not. In addition to that, there will be functions that will be performed on a concurrent basis. In other words, even although those functions, like let's take for instance arrest, detention, etc., although that will be done in the border law enforcement area by the BMA officers, that will be when they arrest people, etc., those functions will also be, if we look at the Immigration Act for instance, be done by the immigration officers inland. In other words, they will also have the authority to arrest, detain, etc., when they are the same crime, for lack of better words, is committed inland. But within the border law enforcement area, you will have your immigration, your border management authority officials that will deal with that at the end of the day. Furthermore, there are implementation protocols. The bill specifically provides for implementation protocols, where those protocols will be concluded between relevant government departments, i.e., immigration SAPs, Home Affairs SAPs, Home Affairs SARS, whatever the case, where there needs to be concurrent jurisdiction on certain, and where they need the assistance of each other. So that will also be sort of how that is going to be done, when people will assist, how they will assist, etc. That has been taken care of in the bill as well. So that just at a high level, Chair, that I would just want to give feedback on that. But in detail, we'll come back, most probably, because we'll have to apply our minds to the inputs that have been given for next week then when we come back as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. There's no advice, anything from inside. Thank you, Chair. Yes, I agree with the department also. It must be remembered that the proclamation will deal in detail with those functions that will be transferred. And together with the proclamation, there will also be the memoranda of understanding, which is actually known as implementation protocols. And those would be between the different agencies, between the BMA and then or the department, and then the different agencies that operate within that area. But what I also just wanted to quickly discuss was the reference to the armed services. The bill creates, establishes the Border Management Authority as an armed services. It had to be created as a separate security service to the single defense force and the single SAPs that is provided for in the Constitution. So, if we go to Section 199(1) of the Constitution, we will see that it only makes provision for a single defense force and a single SAPS and then the different intelligence services. But it also makes provision for national legislation to establish another armed service which operates or exists apart from SAPS and defense force. And that is what this bill then envisages, to establish the BMA to be regulated by this Act, which is the Framework Act. The bill as it is now, that will then that will then regulate the Border Management Authority, and it will also be subjected to parliamentary oversight because the minister has to submit annual reports to Parliament. So that is just to answer that question. And then there were a number of questions about the commissioner. Our understanding is that this commissioner is not the same as the national commissioner that is established in terms of appointed in terms of the Constitution. The National Police Commissioner is appointed in terms of the Constitution by the President. So everything relating to the National Police Commissioner is emanates from the Constitution, then read together with the SAPS Act. But this commissioner is appointed in terms of the BMA Bill. So we can't say that the level that this commissioner will be appointed on will be the same as the level that the National Commissioner is appointed on, because that level or the conditions of service will be determined by the President after consultation with the Minister of Home Affairs. And when it comes to remuneration, the Minister of Finance will also be consulted. So it's not necessarily going to be at the same level. And then a lot of the questions, as I said, pertain to the cooperation and the coordination between the different authorities. And I thought that I would just emphasize that the bill definitely provides for that, seeing that we are looking at an integrated border management authority that has to provide for such coordination. Those different means of cooperating and coordination were built into the bill by way of the ministerial committees and the implementation protocols. And as Dion also said, the operational issues won't be brought into legislation. That never happens. So between the proclamation, the implementation protocols and the regulations, those issues would be covered. Thank you, Chair.
Parliament. Thank you, Chair. I don't have much to add with regard to the policy issues. Just on 2 points regarding steps about coordinating steps, the committee had agreed to include something regarding steps, and with regard to SARS, that's an issue that hasn't been settled yet as to the revenue collection. So I think that will be something that the committee still needs to deliberate as to how it wants that to be included in the bill. The presenter also raises quite a few technical issues regarding the drafting, and those we will consider before next week and when the committee deliberates. So we will consider all those comments that she made with regard to the drafting, and we can see if they could be incorporated or not.
Okay.
Project manager.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think mine is maybe just to give clarity by way of background on one or two of the issues. So I think the first issue that I should give clarity on is to explain the overall policy posture of the bill, which seems to be slightly different from that of ISS, and we thank them for the presentation. You know, ISS concludes by saying we should look at the SADC guidelines. We have done that, Chairperson. And in our view, the fundamental difference between the SADC guidelines and what we have adopted as South Africa is the following. SADC guidelines talk about coordinated border management. In South Africa, we have adopted a new policy paradigm called integrated border management. And for us, those two paradigms are fundamentally different. The policy paradigm that we are proposing is one where we have single command and control. There's a single organ of state that integrates all the functions around border law enforcement. We have looked at the continent. We've looked at SADC. There isn't a single example on this continent where such a model exists. So we are doing something new in South Africa. So in other words, if you go to any other country on the continent or in SADC, you will find different entities dealing with law enforcement. You'll find customs. You'll find immigration. You'll find the agriculture people, or you'll find them grouped in particular ways. So that's the first point I want to make, Chairperson. We feel that we have learned our lessons since 1994 on coordinated border management, and we feel that we have failed to address the challenges that we have as a country. So that's the first point I thought I should just clarify. The second point I should also thought I should clarify is the very first point raised around 10 kilometers. Chairperson, that we have precedent in current legislation. So it's not something that we have put, we've thought up anew. You find that provision within SAP's legislation. I think you also find it in defense legislation. So we have simply used the current precedent that talks about a 10-kilometer radius that seems to be a workable area that we'd like to focus on when it comes to border law enforcement. So, Chairperson, that was the other point I thought I should just indicate. Then the next point, quickly, just to add to what Mr. Advocate Erasmus had to say about the level of the commissioner, is absolutely correct, or what Advocate Yolande has said. But the point I want to add is that we will go through what we call in government a process that will look at the actual appropriate levels. There's a process in government called a job evaluation process. So we cannot, as officials, just say to the committee it will be on this level, on that level. There's a very scientific process that you go through, and that process will determine the exact level that the commissioner of the BMA should be at. So I thought I should just add that is additional work that we will do, Chairperson. Chairperson, I thought those were just the matters that I thought that I should provide some clarity on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, all members. Points of clarity.
if you want to do it at this level, or Bukaula. Other members are fine.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thank you to IFF. I don't agree with the department. I think most of the issues they are raising is the issues that we'll be listening to next week when they come back with their report on that homework. I just want to stress this one, Chair, to say, or to make an appeal to the chairperson, to say it will add value to our meeting next week if all the three ministers are present. Home Affairs, Treasury, and SAPS. Because the issues that we left, that we flagged were around those three ministries. As when you say there's one terminology which I don't understand, commissioned. What is a commissioned person? And the other one, Chair, is I think it's on the third page before you, the last bullet before item 5. You say there is a possibility of abuse. I just want to find out how may this happen. It's, I think it's page 3. Last bullet before you move to number 5.
Section 21.
You say that there may be a possibility of abuse. Yeah, how may that happen?
Members. Okay, I think it's with the understanding that we will have more time to deliberate next week. This input will be combined with other inputs from different organizations or individuals. And then we'll have more inputs. Like I was indicating earlier from my side is that the issue of the collection, that's why I said when we take a decision as a committee, it should be recorded. And the issue of collection of revenue by staff and the DG clarified that matter. They will not be collecting. This happens even prior goods are sent to South Africa. What will happen is that if there is a search, if my understanding was correct, if when they do the search at the entry level, they found that what was declared is lesser than what is contained in a container, if it is a container, for example, that is what they will collect as the border level. Not that they will outright do the revenue collection. So I wanted to clarify that it's not that the decision has, the committee has still, I'm talking to Parliament now, in your inputs, it's not that we still have to take a decision. That was clarified in that meeting. We're not going to go back, but it has to be corrected. The issue of SARS, the committee came up very strong in that matter. In our minds, we are hoping that it has been corrected on the bill, that SARS will do their work as mandated by the Constitution. We also recommended as a committee that they exclusively be removed, because it gives a different meaning that you are preventing other law enforcement agencies like SARS to do their work. We said it must be removed from the bill. Our understanding, because we have not seen the final draft, we'll see it next week. In our minds, we are hoping that those things have been corrected on the bill. The issue that has to be still deliberated. We said SAPS and defense, they must go back and meet together with what company that is controlling the airport, company controlling the in and out of the flights. Yeah, we said they must go and meet and clarify the roles on the private streets that are closer to the border. because defense was clear to say they are definitely not managing those private strips close to the border. They only put the flight down when they suspect something. But after putting it down, they don't have authority to arrest. That is why we said, go back and meet. By the time you come back to us, you give us answers how you're going to manage that. Because it might mean that a number of things are going through those private strips closer to the border lines, which are not manned. He said, when you come back here, tell us who will be responsible for that, who will be doing what. You can't wait for defense to suspect something. There must be an action. I mean, there must be something that we're doing about those. Those are the things that we are expecting to come in the bill or corrected in the bill, because we said they must be done. It's not something that we're still going to deliberate as a committee. We took our time, we deliberated, and we said they must be corrected on the bill. Exclusively for law, BMA, law enforcement, we said that when it raises some suspicions, the issue of subs, we said it must be clarified that they will still do their work as mandated by the Constitution. I think that has been corrected. It's important because I had a discussion with the chairperson of the portfolio committee. They said they recommended the same thing about SAMS, but when the bill came to us, it still had those loopholes. So please make sure that it is corrected. I don't know if you want to say something on the interview. I'm just saying this because next week, it's, you know, most parliament meetings are open meetings, but will not have an opportunity to say something like any other input that you'll be receiving. No one will be having input. It will be the committee and the department that affected. But I just want to give you this opportunity to reflect on what has been said.
I think I can speak to Honourable Kaula. The commission officers, I'm going to walk away from that question because I'm confused by it as well. I think it's very, he looked at me and said he laughed and then said he can help me with that. And Alex had to help. There's one sentence in the bill that I think says the word commission four times in one sentence, so it's tough for us laymen to understand. But I think on the section 21.1, from a thematic perspective, I think we go back to the clear lines of that sentence speaks about detaining people, and it does go on to say as soon as possible they will move people into the authority of staff. And I think from our perspective, we're trying to understand, like, one question that I think on the implementation side that's beyond the scope of the actual framework is whether or not, when combined with the forthcoming Immigration Act, are we looking at the detention centers on the border for refugees and asylum seekers and others, and will there is an opportunity for abusive authority if somebody is able, under a certain authority that we're not clear about, detain people as soon and transfer them to the authority of SAP as soon as possible. So those items combined just gives us some concerns about where people will be detained at borders, under whose authorities, and for how long, if that helps to clarify. There's international examples where situations similar have led to quite grotesque abuses of authority. If that helps clarify.
Okay, you want to come in? Yeah.
Thanks, Chief. I just may, on that specific section 21.1, one must always remember that a warrant is issued by a court of law. So once the warrant, there would be reasons as to why the warrant would indicate detain a person at that place, whatever the case may be. So it will always be sanctioned by a court of law. So I think abuse in that sense is minimized. I understand where the presenter is coming from, but remember there are checks and balances in place. you're not going just, it's not just that anybody issues a warrant and says, listen, I want to detain that person there. If you look at, the, for instance, the Immigration Act, we've also got places of detention, but it has to be declared by the DG in a certain, and it has to comply with certain prescribed requirements, etc. We've also had a situation where we went and we declared those specific police stations as detention centers for purposes of deportation. There was a government gazette that had to go out in this regard. So even in that instance, your police detention centers weren't automatically places of detention for purposes of deportation. You had to declare that. There was a process that you had to follow. And there was engagement with SAPS in this regard, etc. And then the publication after SAPS had come back and said these specific detention centers or facilities would comply with the requirements, etc., etc., so we can then use those as detention facilities. So there are processes that one looks into, and there are checks and balances in place before this will be done in any event. Thanks, Chair.
I just wanted to add to what Dion said. If we look at the wording of Section 21.1, we also inserted subject to Section 35 of the Constitution. So everything that happens in terms of Section 21.1, the arrest, the detention, everything must be subject to what the Constitution says the rights of an accused person are. And under that you would find the 48 hours and the right to be presumed innocent, all of those rights. So we simply couldn't list all of them there. But everything that you do with the arrest or detained person must be subject to that section in the Constitution.
There is one question left until
on the commissioning. I have no answer. I can submit to the lawyer at ISS and return an answer, a written question.
Honorable Kowalik,
do
you want to speak to that?
Maybe the department can help, like she requested.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the actual question?
Just for clarity's sake, Chair, because I'm seeing this for the first time in my life, that commissioners are commissioned to that qualification. I just wanted her to talk to that and explain it. What kind of a commissioner is a commissioned commissioner as a qualification?
I just want to say, just before you respond, remember your inputs are to strengthen the case, not criticizing your presentation, but just for his understanding. If you can't answer it now, it's fine.
Can I send a response to myself?
Yeah.
That part, I don't understand it either. I think it refers to, let me not attempt to answer it.
No, thank you very much. Like you said, you are sending info to somebody else. Department, do you want to come in? Yeah, can I give it to you?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe let us start off by saying in our written submission next week we will give more clarity on this. But in trying to explain the concept of commissioned officers, we need to start off by reminding ourselves what we are saying around who will be a member of the BMA. And we say in our bill that members of the BMA are divided into two parts. There are what we call officers, and the officers are those individuals, employees that work at the front line. In other words, they work at ports of entry. Mm-hmm. They will work on the borderline. Those are the people that do the frontline work of border law enforcement. Then there's a second category. They are not officers, and we've clarified this in the bill. They are simply staff. They are like, you know, the people that work in the offices. They assist with corporate services, with the finances, with the IT. They are not officers. They don't work in the front line. So those are the two categories. Now, where does the concept of a commissioned officer come in? So firstly, the point that we want to clarify is that we have discussed this and taken the cue from the police force and also from the South African Defence Force. So this concept is not new in South Africa. It's not new in our legislation. In both the police force and in the defense force, you have what is called commissioned officers. So that term, that category of individual exists. So what is important about this category. What is important is that in the police force and in the defense force, there is a special category of people called commissioned officers, where they have a designated rank. They've got a special status. And basically, Chairperson, it is about seniority. Basically, just to simplify it, commissioned officers are more senior persons in that particular law enforcement entity, and they've got certain responsibilities that are attached to them. So the last point I want to make by way of an example, because we also wanted to understand this as we were developing this bill. They were saying to us, if you go to an army base, for argument's sake, you will see some members of some soldiers walking past others, and they will stop and they will salute to another person. And that is an example of how they are recognizing this person is a commissioned officer, and that one has got a special status and more authority. But Chairperson, in our submission, we will give a little bit more background and rationale. But we think it's important because it really helps us with command and control. It helps us to deal with issues of hierarchy. It helps us to deal with issues of a new management paradigm that we want to introduce within the law enforcement area in the border environment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let me thank you again. We really appreciate the inputs as presented to us. We are finalizing the bill this week, unless otherwise. But it is our intention as a committee. We will not have another time, otherwise we are getting to the budget processes of departments. We have to finalize it next week. But it is important that things that we spoke about are inserted on the bill. One of the areas that we had time to deliberate when we invited National Treasury, that is where we learned about the tripod. Was it a tripod? Did they call it a tripod? Mm-hmm. And we said, what is dry about the pot? Can you have a pot in inland? We said we would want to have a situation whereby everything is searched at the end of the country. Not they themselves, National Treasury, were saying they don't know what happens between the entry and the ports of entry and that tripod. Meaning that the things that may have been put there illegally so may have been removed in the process between the entry point and the tripod. We said we would want to see things being searched at the entry point level. How are you going to do that? You have to come up with mechanisms. Otherwise we're not doing justice to the country. That is why we find ourselves with so many things in the country, because some of the containers, if I may use an example, are not searched at the entry level, are searched at the dry port. And we are saying if this function is given to Home Affairs to search at the entry level, let it be so. We will not want to see different people be responsible for search, because what if something happens? Who is taking responsibility? That is one of the things that we will not want to talk, but we want to see it being covered in the bill itself. We don't want to go back to those issues. When you do your presentation, do raise those things, that the committee raised this matter, this is where we've corrected it, so that we know that the issues that were raised were corrected in the bill. With that, I think we've covered the briefing, which we really appreciate. In the past, our appreciation to your organization, that we really appreciate. We take your organization very seriously, because it does add value to what we are doing as Parliament. I think we are done with this presentation, except to say to members, we have to approve minutes. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
We're just checking. Yeah, so thank you, Chair.
Members, we have to approve our one set of 4 minutes, but did not register the apology from the for Honorable Zwane and Honorable Mamburu. I received those two apologies for record purposes. We have one set of minutes that is on the 27th of March 2018.
Was I here?
You are
not here.
I was not here. Okay, page one. Anything? Honorable Pambos Bugwana?
Thanks, Chair. To rectify the mistake that was on the apologies, Chris Haching comes from the Northwest, the Northeastern Cape.
I wanted to leave there, but we were able to get a new friend and now I'm staying.
Okay, we know the correct. You're very not you.
You've been moving so fast. I note that I have read the minutes. I note that the question that I had raised to Minister Bukele Nkwinti concerning the outsourcing of water, which was the main thing that he addressed, he even said that is a very much important aspect that I raised. Maybe my eyes are failing me. I don't see it on here. I don't know where it should be captured or on the responses or the briefing or whatever. But that, because it had brought the strike of Nihau and it was raised, but Minister Nkwinti sitting there on the first chair did talk about it. I don't see it on the minute. Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Okay, it will be included.
Yes.
Okay, can I have a mover with the addition? Honorable Kaula, seconded by Honorable Mpango Spokwana. And the last one is the program, Honorable Members. The initial program that was submitted, it did not include the oversight because it was removed. Now it has been put back. So we thought we should bring the program back to the committee. But also, we had thought that we will finish our program in June, the budget process in June. But we're told that we need to finalize everything in May. End of May. All five departments. So we have to look at our program. We had initially thought that we'll apply for the Thursday afternoon, morning, yeah. But now, as members know that Thursdays are made for party caucuses. You will have to advise us whether we go to Friday or we come on Thursday early, because we have to do those departments. Those departments are Department of Social Development and Department of Water and Sanitation, very important departments, and it's not easy to finish them in, let's say you start at 8:30, it's not easy to finish in 1.5 hours. We need advice from members. What do you want us to do? Take 2 Fridays? Or what do we do? Because as we know from experience, as we start with the budget votes, we have plenaries almost every day afternoon to deal with those processes. We need advice from the committee. What do you want us to do here?
The question is,
our initial program was saying we're going to finish our budget process in June.
Mm-hmm.
By the directive from Chief Whips, of which some of you are part of the programming and military committee, is that we have to finalize everything by the end of May.
End of May?
Yes. We don't have enough Tuesdays to do that. So it compels us to come up with other measures. You will have to advise us what do we do. If we take Fridays are not working, members. We tried Fridays in the past. They seem to be not working. The Thursdays, with all the departments, it doesn't matter which department in the committee, you cannot finish everything in 1.5 hours. No, but members will want to go to their caucuses. Advisors, honourable members. What do we do? Honourable Kaula?
Sure, we are trying to recall what happened this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be finalized tomorrow in respect of when do we finish. Is it mid-June or end of May? We are not sure. Now we don't have this draft with us.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not sure if it is end of May. But the important thing is this. There was so much confusion this morning, so it will be finalized tomorrow. The oversight week might be taken out of the program tomorrow,
okay,
to be replaced by the local government week. Next week is the oversight week. Next week is the oversight week, but those committees that are not ready, they will continue with committees next week. That one is finalized.
Next week?
Help us then, please, because you know you have to do a preparatory work for oversight. You can't just change and say next week's oversight. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't add value at all.
Yeah, we found them too.
No, it doesn't work like that. I don't know, but whatever, whether you replace it with a local government week, it doesn't help us because we still need 2 weeks. It's either we... Do we wait for next week, tomorrow? Because it will be communicated to our secretaries once it is finalized.
I think it's better to person if we can wait for tomorrow.
Okay, just give us a framework. What do you want us to do? Try the early morning or the late in the evening? Because definitely there will be plenaries almost every day. I don't know, you know the problem, but when we deal with the budget, we are plenaries almost every day.
By the time we leave tomorrow, we will be there enough.
Tomorrow. Okay, but now we're not going to wait. I just want to get a mandate from the committee. Should we go ahead and make a proposed program after it has been decided tomorrow?
After it has been decided tomorrow.
Okay. No, thank you very much, all members. Honorable Stone?
No, thank you, Chair. No, I just wanted to speak on something else before it goes, not related to the program and everything else. It's in regard to the, apparently the committee is supposed to to present 9 reports to the House. Social Services has got, I think, 4, if I'm not mistaken, and then Education has got 9 reports. And the reports date back to some of the study tours and the... as far as 2 years almost, if we need to check some of the reports. Now, in the morning after the whip, the chief whip approached me, so he was insisting that we must make sure, I must just relay the message to the committee, to the chairpersons in particular, that those reports must be tabled tomorrow, because he was very concerned that you might not be around, and then Honorable Zwane also might not be around, which might actually affect the tabling of the report, because they want to conclude on them tomorrow, all the 9 reports, so that we are done and out. If we miss that opportunity, as I was indicating, we might not be able to table those reports towards the end of the term. So I just wanted to relate that message to the committee. Yeah, there's 9 reports. Education has got 5, and then social services has got 4 reports. Yeah. But the space tomorrow, because tomorrow we don't have a scheduled plenary. There might be a plenary, like Honorable Kaula was indicating. There's motions tomorrow that we're supposed to do, and then we're supposed to have a debate on the provincial week. So it was moved. So tomorrow, what we have actually proposed in the week is that we must try to check schedule 2B of the question session of Thursday. What we have requested, because Thursday normally some of the members are moving out, so we requested let's at least get, if we can get those departments or ministers available for Wednesday, then we can move half of the question session to Wednesday, then we deal with the reports of social services, education, and then we deal with the motions. So that's the proposal that we made. I think it was made by Honorable Kaula. We supported that proposal. So it will depend if we are going to get the support or the agreement from the executive. If we don't get, then the Thursday sitting is still continuing, irrespective. It's still standing. Then we'll deal with the reports tomorrow, we'll deal with the motions and all of that. And then the report of the provincial week is now shifted to that other week, the 10th of May, where we'll be debating that week. Mm-hmm. So, like Honorable Kaula was saying, there was just a lot of confusion. I'm sure it will be cleaned up tomorrow. I think so, in the program committee. Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very much for raising that. I think we're being ambushed because we've been making a lot of noise. Our report has not been put on the program. You will see them down there, but they never gave us an opportunity to present our reports. I agree, because we've been giving them pressure. But it doesn't mean that they must say tomorrow. It doesn't mean that they must do that. I don't have a problem. They are not the chairperson's report. They are the committee's reports. We can have people presenting them. But it may mean that whoever is presenting a report must discuss with that person, because they might be, like, for example, I have issues of health in Northern Cape that I would want to add, to be emphasized, not to add because they're part of the report, things that I would want them to be emphasized. KZN, same thing, Mpumalanga, same thing. In almost all the reports, I may have to, because I just came from this meeting today. I'm going back to Vets. We're finishing on Thursday, and I'm writing Kaula.
For the first time, I'm going to be the acting chairperson tomorrow.
So I'm writing on Thursday. There's no way that I could come. I'll be back by that time. We can agree as a committee if we go ahead with them, but I will have to discuss with the people who will be presenting the reports. But we are being ambushed. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
They've been prioritizing certain committees. Mm-hmm. We had to tell them that, for example, finance. They went to Malaysia after us, came back, presented, and I don't know why they were holding our reports. I don't know why. I need a direction from the committee. I don't have a problem. Just as long as I will be able to add my views to those who are presenting the report.
Chair, can we leave it with the chair to open the anyone for me to be convenient?
Okay. No, it's okay. So we proceed. They will have this. I suggest that we make statements. Not debate, because it can't be debate if it is tomorrow. It can only be statements. We'll get those statements from Marcel, who lies with the researchers. They will make those statements instead of reading the whole report, or summarize them and be given to those people who will be presenting the report. Do we agree, all members?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Kaula, Honorable Stock, for raising that. But the Chief Whip is free to talk to me.
I think, sorry Chair, I think the Chief Whip is, because I've checked my phone now, there's a message they sent to Honorable Zwane, it's a WhatsApp. I don't know whether it's a message, but they sent to me on WhatsApp. The same message that they sent to Honorable Zwane, so the Chief Whip probably sent it to me as well. And then reminded me that I must raise it. But maybe if you can check, I don't
your
know,
phone.
Maybe on your phone you might have received it. I'm not sure. And if I suggest if the chair did not receive it, maybe also liaise with the Chief Whip and finalize it.
No, it's not a big mistake. I had raised your name somewhere myself.
Hmm.
Yeah, but my phone is open.
No,
thank you very much. All members, the meeting stands adjourned. This Nazareth one is I. Thank you for my
I'm here.
Before I came here, 2 years.